Story Days in Tampa Bay recently hosted its fifth annual festival in St. Petersburg. Today, we hear excerpts from a performance that reflects on Hurricanes Irma and Maria a year after the storms. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the National Foundation for Transplants. Right now, hundreds of Tampa residents need an organ transplant they can't afford. You can join National Foundation for Transplants Operation Second Chance at transplants.org to learn how to help give someone a second chance at life.
From the studios at WUSF Public Media, I'm Robin Sussingham. Story Days in Tampa Bay is an annual week-long festival that uses music, dance, theater, and art to tell the stories of people in our community. It's hosted by the nonprofit Your Real Stories. One of the events at this year's festival was called Irma and Maria, Hurricane Stories 1 year later. It featured stories from survivors of the two storms told in the style of theatrical journalism. Your Real Stories executive director Lillian Dunlap and artistic director Jay Sheldon spent hours interviewing people affected by Hurricanes Irma and Maria. They used the interviews to craft scripts, which actors performed in front of an audience at the Poynter Institute in St. Petersburg. Today, we will hear excerpts from that performance. We begin with the story of Jonathan French, who worked for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration when the storms hit. His story was performed by actor Christopher Rutherford.
My name is Jonathan French. I've only been to Puerto Rico once, and it was immediately after the storm had passed. At the time, I was working for NOAA, and one of the many jobs I had is coast survey. When a hurricane hits, they get called in to go and evaluate shipping channels to make sure that other ships can get in safely to help. Irma hit. So we moved to Mobile, Alabama to wait for a Coast Guard flight to Miami. And the whole time we're in Mobile, I was coaching my wife, Helen, since she and our boys were here in St. Pete. From my camping experience and my time with the service, I know a lot about camping and survival skills. My wife, Helen, doesn't. So there were some funny conversations. That's a stove, that's a water filter, you need to go get this kind of filter. I know that I've done everything that I can. I know they're going to be in a place with concrete walls. They've got the bathtub filled with water. They have ways of cooking food and purifying water. I've done as much as I can. What's my next job? So we meet the pilots at 3 a.m. to fly to Miami. We flew out over the Gulf and came around behind it, and I remember looking up in the cockpit and seeing on the GPS that we were off the coast of Pinellas County. Communications toward the end got kind of spotty with Helen and the kids, so it's like my brain is kind of split. How can I be a dad? How can I be a husband right now, being hundreds of miles away and not being able to do anything about it? In Miami, the whole time we were there, we kept hearing, as soon as you're done with this, you're going down to Key West. And driving down through the Keys was the first real holy crap moment. It was like being up north in wintertime when all the trees lose their leaves. Palm trees with one branch left barely hanging on. Puerto Rico had already been hit with Irma, and they knew Maria was coming, so I was scheduled to come back to St. Pete for 5 days in order to prepare for Puerto Rico and to buy supplies and sleep. I was looking forward to spending some time with Helen and the kids. But our timeline was moved up. We sailed into the Coast Guard sector of San Juan and started to work there. Everything was just decimated. We got to Arecibo, to the west of San Juan. We saw crazy stuff like cows crossing major interstates. People were driving along with their phones out the window to see if they could get coverage just to tell people they were okay. At the boat launch in Arecibo, there was a little restaurant, and I'm thinking, Florida after a hurricane. Let me go and buy food for all of our guys so the restaurant has a little income for that day. I brought one of the Coast Guard guys who spoke Spanish. My Spanish is horrible. And I asked them if they had any food if they could serve anything. I didn't understand how long it was going to take for Puerto Rico to recover. They made us some food, even though they were working to put their lives back together. That was the best fried pork chop I ever had. Rice and pineapple juice, and they wouldn't let us pay for the food. They only asked for gas or diesel, and at the time, even the government didn't have enough fuel. The only thing I could do was leave some money under a bowl. We were able to do work, but fuel for the trucks was getting really slim. Fuel for the boats was super thin. The infrastructure made it next to impossible. I was in Puerto Rico for 2 weeks trying to coordinate efforts after the rest of my team went back. It was a bittersweet thing. It's group suck. When you're dealing with no food and everyone stinks, staying in barracks on the third floor with no way to flush a toilet, so you carry a bucket of ocean water up 3 flights of stairs. Everybody's dealing with the same thing and nobody complains. All in all, I was away from home for about 6 weeks. One of the things that was difficult for me was coming back and hearing the news that they're not working hard to fix their problems. At least with Harvey, there were plenty of roads into the affected area. At least with Irma, there was one road to bring supplies in. Puerto Rico, after Maria, had so many roads that were completely destroyed. Simple things were not easy. Security did become a problem. People were just trying to take care of their families. I look at it from the perspective of how it felt to have my family here while I was someplace else and feeling absolutely helpless. I just asked myself, what would I do to make their situation better?
Next, we hear the story of Hurricane Maria survivor Leslie Diaz. Actress Jessie Juliana performed Leslie's story in Spanish, while actress Isabel Natera read the English translation.
Pues yo estoy hoy bien comparado con meses atrás. Mi nombre es Leslie Diaz, soy de Carolina, Puerto Rico. Yo soy natural de Cagua.
Today I'm fine compared with months ago. My name is Leslie Diaz. I am from Carolina, Puerto Rico. I'm originally from Caguas, and I moved to Carolina 5 years ago. I lived in a neighborhood called Savannah Gardens. I dedicated myself to making pastries. Actually, I still do. I make cakes. When we first heard the hurricane was coming to Puerto Rico, I think my reaction was the same as all Puerto Ricans. To take it easy, because they would always say that something is coming and nothing ever did. But we didn't realize it until we were in it. Until we were living it. And that was a very scary moment. Because we hadn't gone through something like that in a long time, and so the kids got scared, and that's when I got even more nervous. During the hurricane, we were in my house in Carolina. It was my husband and the 4 kids and me. I think we understood that the hurricane was strong by 5 in the morning when we started to feel the wind and the sound. When we peeked out the window and we started to see big sheets of tin from the other houses blowing off into the street where I lived. When we saw that the street looked like a river. After the hurricane passed, there was so much water inside the house. The bedroom where I put the babies to sleep, which I thought was the safest and wouldn't get flooded, was a room that got the most flooded. That's also where we archived all of our personal documents, birth certificates, social security cards, important documents. And it was the room that flooded the most because the windows weren't very secure. They broke. Water everywhere. So much loss because of water damage.
Me quedé en Carolina hasta el 20 de noviembre, que fue
I stayed in Carolina until November 20th when I came here. It was horrible. Lines in the supermarket to buy ice and water. Lines at the gas station so you could buy gas for the generator. It was desperate, and even more so when you're going there with little kids.
Yo tomé la decisión más bien por los nenes.
I made the decision that was best for my kids, and also because my husband and I were out without jobs. My mom lives here, and she told me to come here for a few months while things in Puerto Rico stabilized a little bit. So I decided to come here with the kids first. And then when I was here, because I found a job, I made a decision to stay here permanently.
Cuando llegué aquí, tuve como tres o cuatro días en casa de mi mamá.
When I got here, I spent 3 or 4 days at my mother's house, and then I got approved for the FEMA help to move to a hotel, and I went there with the kids, to a hotel with a pool that was here in Tampa. I was alone with the four kids, and it was funny because they thought we were on vacation. But it was hard for me because I was alone. My husband stayed in Puerto Rico, turning in the house and getting everything in order over there so that he could later reunite with us. But it was very hard because I had to find someone to stay with my kids so I could go to work. They would tell me, okay, and then last minute they would say, no, I can't help with that. It was very hard.
Mi primer trabajo fue de limpieza en la noche.
My first job was cleaning at night. Then from there I started working in a school cafeteria in the mornings. And on the weekends, I would dedicate my time to making cakes and helping my mother with her clients. I am still making cakes, but I'm not cleaning anymore. Now I have a job in telemarketing.
Son muchas emociones cuando pienso en este pasado año.
I have so many feelings when I think about the past year. Sometimes I get sad. But I also feel quite content because I was alone and able to work almost four jobs and still take care of my four kids. I feel very happy and proud of myself.
Yo tomé la decisión de quedarme aquí.
I made the decision to come here for the quality of life for my kids. My kids are better here than in Puerto Rico.
Yo quiero para ellos, yo creo lo que toda madre desea para su hijo, lo mejor.
I want for them, I think, what every mother wishes for their kids, the best. I want the best. If I can give them the world, I want to give them the entire world. I want them to do well for themselves, to study and to succeed. I want the best for them. The only thing I ask is health and life to be able to guide them. I don't want anything.
Following all the performances at the event, Your Real Stories Executive Director Lillian Dunlap came to the stage to interview some of the actors along with the people whose stories they told about their experiences with the process. Now we'll hear Dunlap talk with Jesse Juliana and Isabel Natera, who performed the story of Hurricane Maria survivor Leslie Diaz. She also speaks with Jonathan French and the actor who portrayed him, Christopher Rutherford.
Let me just ask you about the experience of doing these stories. What was it like preparing for this?
You know, it's funny because I think one of the things that I found is I find that I easily connect to these stories. I'm Dominican, and Dominican Republic was hit pretty hard. Not anywhere near as hard as Puerto Rico, but I had family members who, you know, had a hard time transitioning after the storm as well. So it's a very easy thing to connect to. And being Latina, I think anybody in the Caribbean, when it happens to one, we all feel it, right? So I just felt like I went on the journey with her when I was listening to the story and hearing and reading it.
Yes, it sounded like you had been on the journey as well.
I mean, I love what you guys do. I think these are very important stories that I feel that really need to be heard. They really need to be told. They need to be shared. I'm originally from Puerto Rico, if you didn't hear it in the accent.
No, I didn't.
My Spanish is like straight up. It was very devastating for me to see because I was born and raised there. I'm from Lomas Verdes. My husband is as well. So for us, it was very difficult for us to see friends. His grandmother's over there. So just trying to get in touch with his grandmother to see how she was doing. That was really sad. It was very sad for me to see close friends that I grew up with that were struggling to be able to provide for their babies and to see, like, you know, that they would be in line for hours and hours and hours just trying to get water. So just to witness that, when Hurricane Maria happened, what I did was I collected donations and I got very involved. Mm-hmm. So this is another way for me to continue staying involved. So for me, it's something very, very important that I'm very, very passionate about. So it was very easy for me to connect. I'm a mother. Mm-hmm. And as a human being, right, like it wasn't hard to connect with this story at all whatsoever. The last line always gets me when I read it because it's true. It's what every mother wants. And I think that's what's so beautiful about these stories is that I always find it more interesting to look at what we have in common versus what makes us different.
Yes.
So these stories allow us to connect with each other and realize we are all the same. And like she said, you know, what I want is not any different from what any other mother wants. I want the best for my children. So, and even if that means personal sacrifice.
Thank you. Well said. Chris, welcome back.
Hi.
So, I want to introduce you to somebody that you don't know. When we come to this point, the actor and the storyteller have usually not met. Chris, meet the real John.
Thank you very much. Good job. Good job.
I'm grateful for you, for Thank people you. Like you who are there to just when everything goes awry and to the bottom drops out, smart people like you show up and just get the lights turned back on, the water going again. And I'm very grateful. I was very grateful to tell your story. And I'm honored and I'm glad we shared a little bit of your experience.
Well, thank you. You did a great job.
Thank you. Going
down to Puerto Rico, it was one of those things, I wish I could have done more. And in any of it, you have to have people that are willing to go out there and do that. And I was hoping with my story coming across that there are people that do go into, it's kind of like a fireman. Why in the world is a fireman going to run into a burning building? You know, but the reality was, like down in Puerto Rico, there were a lot of the Coast Guard that were there were, they're from Puerto Rico. And they had like a day or two to kind of get their families squared away, and then they had to go and start working. And you know, there's a lot of people that are, when there is a natural disaster or something like that, that go out there and really do as much as they can. It's never enough, but I hope that kind of came across in the story.
Yeah, and you know, we were working on the script, and I didn't read the story. It was written on the page, and I read it right out before I came in about the restaurant, and it really got me because. It's such a simple thing, and it's what they're there for. They're a restaurant, but when you don't have power, and you know you're limited, your food is limited now. Yeah. And to give that gift to a help, it's just a wonderful story, and you know it goes to show that you were there to help, but you know what, they chipped in too. And when in those moments of crisis, everybody starts putting in their little bit. It's one of the most like humbling, humanizing, and inspiring things. So. Yep. Again, thank you for what you do, and incredible, incredible, and thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
You're listening to Florida Matters. I'm Robin Sussingham. We'll continue to hear reflections about Hurricanes Irma and Maria from the recent Story Days in Tampa Bay Festival in just a moment. But we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. I'm Robin Sussingham, and you're listening to Florida Matters. We're listening to excerpts from the recent Story Days in Tampa Bay Festival event, Irma and Maria, Hurricane Stories 1 year later. Just before the break, we heard some of the performances that were based on interviews with real survivors of Hurricanes Irma and Maria. Now we hear another portion of that event, which invited the audience to join in on the storytelling process. Attendees of the event were invited to fill out forms with questions about their own experience during last year's hurricanes. Actors then crafted a spontaneous play based on the responses audience members wrote down. Actress Roxanne Fay reads the questions aloud and provides some of the answers. Actors Cranston Cumberbatch and Christopher Rutherford and actress Jessie Juliana also share responses. Some portions of this segment are in Spanish.
So it's been a year since we lived through our hurricane here in Pinellas County. What about your life is maybe not back to normal since the hurricane from last year?
Nothing.
Still have some work on the house that we need to do.
My tree in my front yard is gone, so there's that.
Still not unpacked. And what got packed was supposedly the important stuff.
I have families in Puerto Rico whose lives are only now returning to normal.
I think more about the people that are still suffering directly
Now, we never did reorganize everything back to where it belongs after we evacuated off of the boat that we live on.
Mis colegas, mi familia, no tienen lo que necesitan.
So, during the storm, did you evacuate? And would you do that again?
Yes, yes, I value my life.
Yes, and yes, my house is not as important as my life.
No, didn't have to because we are in a zone that does not call for it.
Yes, we live in a storm surge area. We will always evacuate when there is an order.
I did not, despite the fact that I live in an evacuation zone. I will never do that again. Stress and lack of power over what might happen was overwhelming.
Nope, stayed home. I have way too many animals to fit in one car, and I'm not leaving my animals.
We evacuated off our boat that we live on with our two cats, and yes, we would do it again, every bit of it.
No, estaba viviendo aquí.
Well, where did you stay during the storm?
Locally at a shelter with clients for half a day, and at my home the remaining of the time.
Home.
Yo vivo en los Estados Unidos.
On my mattress in the kitchen floor.
Birmingham, Alabama, in a hotel.
In a frame shop on 4th Street.
We stayed at my in-law's in North Tampa after tying the boat up as if we were never going to see her again.
At home, frantically checking weather channels.
I had already planned to spend 2 months at a Stony Mount retreat center in New York.
Shut up.
Tell us a little bit more about who or what you were with.
One man, one God, and the wind.
Estaba sola.
My husband, two cats, our babies.
Six family and friends in our four-bedroom home with 21 people, 18 animals. Oh. Yeah.
Stepping
that
up.
Part.
A boyfriend's mom, dad, little brother, and my mom, dad, little bro, and grandma. It was the first time they had all met.
My wife, my dog, my cat, and the entire cast and crew of the Royale.
I was alone.
My son, for a time, and our dog.
So, with all of your friends and your family and your dogs, what did you do?
We watched a lot of movies.
Ate a sandwich from Subway that I had gotten earlier.
Mirándolo por televisión.
Watched news as we could keep abreast of our situation during Irma, watching news to see how my family was doing during Maria.
Waited.
Played Cards Against Humanity and listened to the news. Slept in the hallway.
Watched the storm, ha, out the window.
Sat huddled together watching the news and weather on phones and sending "We are still okay" messages to worried friends and family.
Did some work, actually, until the lack of power prevented any more of that.
Was there anything that surprised you?
No.
Wasn't as bad as it seemed.
The sounds.
Having no power for a whole week.
I have a screenshot of the track running directly through St. Petersburg. We went from packing a few things to all that is important in a period of 4 hours.
I was surprised how well everyone got along. Our brothers became friends.
That we were ultimately so fortunate to be spared the worst. That and the profound silence before the worst of the storm and the silence the next morning.
How devastated Puerto Rico's power and electrical infrastructure was.
Me enoja mucho con los gobiernos de los Estados Unidos y de Puerto Rico.
Are you the same person that you were before this storm?
Yes, a few more layers of experience and gratitude.
Mom isn't the same.
Yep.
I am not. I am more grateful than ever that we were spared, and to this day I still pray for the ones that weren't.
Pienso que no.
I'm more aware of the fragility of one's sense of security.
I'd never spent time at a shelter, and I was overwhelmed with the vulnerability of those who had stayed there. But at the same time, I was impressed with the teamwork and the sense of unity it brought.
We are all more informed and more prepared.
I feel extremely lucky for how we fared compared to the Keys and Puerto Rico, but always anxious, frantically checking weather reports whenever anything pops up.
We sat in the writer's room and went over all of your questionnaires so that we might give you some voices up here. And of course, we talked a little bit about our own experience going through the storm. Cranston, what impressed you the most about your experience in the storm last year? You told me some really neat stories about sandbags.
Unique story for me was that I actually went out to, you know, get some sandbags for my own home. And in that, I started seeing the line was wrapping itself around the block. And my idea was get in, get out. And seeing that, I knew that that process was not going to happen. Myself and I heard a couple of other guys talking, and they were saying the best thing for us to do would be to lend a hand and help people so the lines wouldn't be backed up. And so it went from three of us out helping others get their sandbags and taking them to their car to it being over 50 people helping sandbag and help other people get to their car. And it was just a beautiful thing to witness, to see us as human beings relate to each other in that sense. It takes one major disaster to help us realize that we're all the same. But if only we could see that and keep that in our conscious minds, in our everyday walk, that we are the same, we function the same, we bleed the same, we go to the bathroom the same. Nobody does it any different, you know. And so keeping those things in mind, you know, no matter where you come from, no matter what your preferences are or anything like that, all those things go out the window when disaster happens. And if we can live outside of the drama in our everyday lives, think how much more happier and how much more peaceful things will be in our world and in our communities.
That's it for today's show. You can find out more about Story Days in Tampa Bay on our website, WUSFnews.org. Just click on the Florida Matters tab. And we speak with Your Real Stories Executive Director Lillian Dunlap about the inspiration for this festival on our podcast, Florida Matters More. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. Florida Matters is produced by Stephanie Colombini. The engineer is Craig George. I'm Robin Sussingham. Thanks for listening.